And we welcome you to a Victory Monday edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. And the Falcons are here after a 38-19 win over Arizona yesterday. And it was the full 60 minutes, Coach. That's what you talk about all the time, and the ball game proved to be just that.
And in that time, we knew this was going to be a finished day. And honestly, as a coach, I was hoping that would happen. We've had some games where we didn't. I thought that was a real important part of our game that we needed to have some more. Doesn't mean you're going to win, everyone, but I wanted to have that moment where the game was going to be decided. Let's go do it. Here's the fourth quarter. And so for us to have a chance to respond like we did at the end, we needed it. And you build confidence, you build toughness through those times, and we needed it. I was happy that different guys stepped up along the way. You know, Gabriel having a big day on offense. Well, you should have seen the offensive line, the way they wanted to come out and go block for him. That was for sure a factor. On one of them, Jake Matthews got two. And defensively, it was good to see the corners. You know, we knew we were going to get challenged by Carson Palmer and the aerial circus that he has. You know, like Larry and just all the guys that have the feature. They know how to throw the ball. And we knew that was going to be a challenge. And then, you know, with Bosher being out on special teams, that was going to be a factor. And so for Wild to jump in and 7-for-7 on touchbacks, 52-yard punt. He showed he can play in this league, and I thought that was a real, you know, team win.
The thing that I think that's hard to quantify for the fan, and it's really cool that it's manifesting itself the way it is on your team, is this brotherhood. Okay, and every player I talk to, that's the first thing they mention. It's transferring itself onto the field, Dan, and it's a culture you began when you first got here. You started talking about the togetherness and about the team. It's got to be fun to see that take shape, because Taylor talked about on his two touchdown runs. He didn't talk about his run and the way he snapped
right
Schweringer's ankles and all that kind of. He talked about so-and-so's block and so-and-so's block and how happy so-and-so was that he got in the end zone and how he didn't want to let his brother down. How have you done that?
We know that players and coaches were all an extension of each other. So for Matt to throw a deep ball to Julio, there had to be some really good protection. And for Freeman to have the run that he did, there was some really good line play. There might have been, and likely, very good wide receiver blocking. Mm-hmm. And so having that kind of intent to know that, like, we're all an extension of each other, to have the sacks that happened, there better be some really good coverage going on. To have an interception where Vic caused it, where Devondre was able to pick it.
Oh.
Knowing that we're all an extension of each other, and then where that brotherhood really comes to life, it's during the week at practice. And we know that's our responsibility to help get each other ready to play. So Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, those guys competing against one another to make sure it gets right. And that kind of healthy competition is good. Who can compete best in the meeting room, the training room? Can I get back faster? Can I do more to help recover? Can I get in my notes? You know, like, that kind of competition is good, too.
I just think that the fan hears it said. They don't get a chance to see it other than what they see performed on a Sunday or a Monday night or whatever. Get a chance to be around the players. They're living this. I mean, it really means something to them.
It does, totally.
And it transfers to the field to where – yeah, you can talk about how you've got good protection, and the only reason I had good protection is that's the way I got the ball. But it's happening, and I think that it's so amazing. It's a credit to you and Thomas and to get the kind of people in here that have bought into what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm proud to be part of this team. It would be a team that you guys would love to be a member of, mm-hmm. in terms of the locker room, what they stand for, how hard they want to play for one another. In this league, and it's on every team, there's a lot of guys that get banged up and play, and they're hurt, and that's no different with ours. And then the second part is when that happens, which it does, there's an opportunity created for somebody to, you know, show all the work they've been putting in. And I think that was important in this game as well.
Well, the guy does stats and research for us on Sundays, Greg Campbell, gave me a note at the end of the game yesterday. And that was Carson Palmer threw 44 attempts yesterday, 44 pass attempts. Only 10 of them were completed to wide receivers. What does that say about Collins? What does that say about Poole? What does that say about Alford? What does it say about your secondary and maybe even your front to a degree?
Sounds like we better cover the running backs better.
That guy was a chore. He was an all-day chore, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, you know what it does? We knew this is a really good team.
Sure.
And we had to challenge the defense in a number of ways. They knew how to run it. They've got power. They can do that. They have a really good, you know, down the field attack. So for us, outside at corner at nickel, that was going to be a factor. We also knew that we were going to put our safety some on the back, and Neil had to take that matchup some. Our linebackers did.
Right.
That was at times Deion Jones. So it was going to be an all-day fight, and that's exactly what it was. But I was pleased to see the guys stand right at the line of scrimmage, especially the guys outside, Collins and Poole and Alford, were outside. You know, when they're throwing that much speed at you, you got to reset and challenge yourself every play. And, man, I was pleased with those guys.
Yeah, Marquand has done a heck of a job with those defensive backs and trying to get them to believe their technique. And a lot of times just those guys are as talented as can be. They both can run. Just a matter of trusting your technique.
And the three things we talk about with trust, like trust your training.
Sure. Right?
It's all the stuff we do. You trust your teammate that he's going to do his job. And then the last part, and it's a really important one, is trust yourself. Like, you've put the work in. So now, like, that – when you have that kind of trust and belief, it actually puts you in a pretty good state because you're ready to play. I've put the work in. Like, I cannot wait for this game. Mm-hmm. And when you can put the work in during the week, by the time Sunday comes, you're kind of anxious for kickoff, not in a nervous way, but you're anxious to show the work that I put in. I'm ready to demonstrate that. And that's why Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday is so important to get your mind right, get your heart right, get your body right. So, like, when it comes to Sunday, I'm in the right frame of mind to go play at my best.
Yeah, you can turn it loose. Now, there's still growing pains you're going through, and we saw some of that on Sunday where guys aren't lined up where they're supposed to be, and you're still it's still a really young group that's still learning kind of on the job.
And that's the part we know we can get better, and that's the goal. Can we improve from last week's performance to this week's performance and challenge one another? And that's the good part about the teammate. Can you two challenge each other? And when you get to that place, that's when you're at a good spot. When it doesn't have to come always from the coaches where they have to come down to challenge player, but within their group, all right, you got more? Come on, let's go play.
What was it about the development or maybe the situation that got Gabriel his first multi-touchdown game ever? How'd that happen? Just the right place, right time?
Honestly, when you go back and watch the clips of how hard the guys are blocking for him.
Okay.
And you'll also see it on the reverse that he had as well. Obviously the ability and the speed and he can cut. But when you see Chris Chester getting down the field, when you see Levine make the block, when you see Jake Matthews get two, those are the ones that you'll want to point out and be like, man, that was a cool play. And look at the other guys who are like Alex Mack was hauling down the field to go strain to get the block to free him. And that's where the brotherhood comes to life, because when we show it up there, it's very easy to point out we're all an extension of each other. And if you take that kind of pride when your number's up and the next guy next to you is doing it on his time, don't pick and choose.
Well, Gabriel's going to be with us in our player spotlight, by the way, coming up in the last part of the program. I'll just ask you this. He's been a great fit here.
He has.
What's made him such a good fit in your mind?
One, he's a terrific teammate, and so when he came in, he knew he had a lot to learn in the system and didn't have any of the training camp with us, so that can be a difficult time. I got to give Thomas the credit that, you know, we got together and we said, okay, we don't know this guy, but we know he has the things, you know, the tools to help us, and it may take him a few weeks to get in sync with how to do it. It's not easy just to be dropped into a new locker room and a new system.
Sure.
Where, he had some familiarity with Kyle, but not with Raheem, not with any other players amongst the offense. So he's the one that put the work in to say, I'll battle. And he is a very good competitor. So we said, hey, you're going to play on teams. Gotcha, coach. And we got to do this. Got it. And so we use him at Gunner. He's a tough competitor. He really is. So I think we're just going to continue to see him get better and better.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with the head guy of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, a guy that doesn't really get talked about very much, and I think he's doing yeoman's work as far as working with these kids in the secondary, is Ricardo Allen.
Yep.
And Rico getting people lined up. I see him running up and sliding somebody over and moving him around. In fact, he looked like he was exhausted just sitting in his chair after the game trying to get everybody lined up, because they do stress you with the different formations.
They do.
And what David Johnson can do individually from lining up in different spots.
We rely on him quite a bit. And he was the first one that kind of said, we're not communicating well enough when we came off on our first or second drive and we got together. And let's make sure that part comes to life, because where he's in the back end, he may not get the information to everybody.
Right.
He's taking care of the secondary and then trying to get word down to the linebacker. he is a very reliable player. And I thought Marquand has done a terrific job in helping him develop as a safety. He played corner. And then so now he's a safety and makes the calls and has all the fits down. So the two of them have spent a lot of time together. He quietly brings guys with him. Let's come over to the house. Let's watch this. Let's get ourselves in order. He's been a real impact for Jalen Collins as well.
Tevin Coleman back on the field to complement what Devontae does. The numbers may not necessarily reflect, but he gave you kind of a physical runner, especially down close.
He had a good run down inside, might have been at the 2 or 3 yard line where he scored. I was surprised at the stat line at the end to say, he had a catch where he, slipped up and got tripped up on, but he had an outstanding week. So quietly I said, okay, he's about to go. And I think it's a good thing to remind you when you're first coming back, he needed to get back in the rhythm and get going. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a real factor for us, as moving forward. It's the speed. It's the ability to cut. So for him to be disappointed in the performance, I think that's a good sign for us.
We're going to get to a different topic in our second segment about your weekend with your football team and the impact it could have, not just in games, but also in the franchise as a whole. But coming off the bye week to get this win, do you take another step forward with this team in terms of this journey you're on and the way they responded?
We really made a push on our ability to finish. That's halves and drives and games. So we recognize not every play is going to go right or not every drive is going to go right. But when the time comes to go, do it, like in instance this week, you couldn't win the game in the first quarter. We could certainly play better defensively. But then it came, the offense was able to answer in the first quarter. When they went down to score, we did. And then in the start of the second half, the offense struggled at their first drive. The defense took them in three and out and got the ball back. So, like, that to me is the team balancing each other out. And when one was down, the other picked it up. And that showed up. But that finish, that's something we're always going to talk about because, Wes, we understand that you gain confidence, you gain toughness, you gain attitude by being in those tough fights.
The salute to service weekend for the Falcons was more than just what people saw on Sunday. You and your wife, Stacy, you've had a commitment to wounded warriors and fallen heroes and folks like that for years. But you really took it second and third level with the families being here at the facility on Saturday and all these things that occurred. I heard Taylor say last night on NFL Network with Deion Sanders, it really meant something to him.
Yep.
Take us through the idea of bringing these families to, and Dave mentioned it yesterday, the complex and the interaction and what it means, and not just to them, but what it means to you and this team.
Well, it's really our honor. And oftentimes people see the athletes and coaches sometimes, and they're in awe, but it's the other way around. And we're in awe of what they do, what they stand for. I, for years, have felt all branches of our service do team better than anybody. And honestly, we're trying to build a team that they would be proud of. Mm-hmm. So through the ticket program, we've brought, soldiers to games in lots of cities, and that's been a fun thing to do. Football to us has meant so much. So for us to have the ability to bring them to a game and have them experience an NFL game, it's been a thrill. And we've made some lifelong connections during those meetings where you come and maybe spend just a few minutes, hearing a story about how much it means. That's it goes a long way. So this year, along with help from the team and the TAPS program, we were able to take it up another couple notches. And as the NFL goes through a salute to service month, let's put some more action to it. And so that's where we came with the idea of let's honor some families of fallen soldiers. And that's what the TAPS program is. It's Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. And so we have 63 players on our roster. And so we connected a family with each player. And so they came out to practice on Saturday, watched practice, and they knew who they would be kind of partnered up with as the build-up for the week went. And they got a chance to, share their story with them on Saturday. And then after the players left, we, spent some time together that afternoon. They had a dinner that night, which DJ Shockley came as a Falcon alum and did a great job with the guys. And then they were on the field holding the flag prior to the game.
Wow.
And then having the whole experience. So each player had a message, hey, today, we're playing for whoever that fallen hero was. And I thought it was a really I'm always proud to be a Falcon, but even on that day, maybe a little more.
Those are the moments that you're almost like a dad with your kids, when you've got your players.
Yep.
And when you see them getting a chance to absorb that, it probably had to warm your heart to watch them interact with these families.
It did, and I think we're all so fortunate, you know, to be able to be a part of this organization, to be a part of the NFL. And so for us to make a small impact of a family that maybe could use, you know, a little bit of encouragement along the way, and to show our gratitude for, you know, what they stand for. And so that part, to have a small interaction and be a small part of, you know, creating a memorable experience, it was really cool. And we were very honored as a team to have all of them here. And we really wanted them to, you know, have a performance that they'd be proud of.
You've done it a lot of different places. You mentioned that through Quinn Corps, which is your personal charity that you and your wife, Stacy, have kind of spearheaded. This organization, though, they're really behind this. Steve, we were talking with Rich yesterday before the game. Steve Cannon's the CEO of this. This is about what he wants to
That's
be
right.
about. I mean, that buys in all the way, doesn't it?
And it does. And so for us here in Georgia, we've got a big military presence. And so let's do it better than anybody and have that connection as strong as we could possibly make it. So I do feel that connection from the organization. It starts with Arthur, and then it goes through Steve and Rich
right.
and the team. And so knowing that, you know, that team concept, I think that's where my strength for the military comes. If I wasn't coaching, that would probably have been the spot that I would have gone. I love being part of a team. And so going on USO tours and seeing them interact with their teams or spending time, you know, with soldiers who come to a game, those little moments they're really cool for us.
I was going to ask you, because you went last spring, I guess,
yep.
summer with
yep.
Vic Beasley, Matt Bryant were there with you, I think.
We did.
What do you get from that? Because I know what they get from it. It's readily evident what those guys get.
It's just the opposite, where you would think we're the ones that are, you know, the honor to be there. And then going on base and seeing all the small jobs that they have. And one of the real benefits of that is to say, here's this young guy, and look how much he does. And the responsibility that the 20-year-old that's on this ship that's working all the navigation, and you're like, that is awesome, man.
You know,
like,
yeah.
There is not a chance when I was 20 I was getting that done. And so meeting all, you know, the men and women soldiers there on the different bases, the different jobs they had, but that was honestly one of the more interesting things. Like, tell me about your role here, and what do you do? And we're going through tanks or learning how to, you know, shoot a missile, you know, like all the things and all the jobs that they have, they're so specific. And I thought, as a, you know, being a part of the team here, they nailed it. Okay, you're really good at this, you're really good at this. And that's what, as a coach, what I'm trying to do, how do you feature your guys in the very best way? And that's why I feel like they nail it. They train, they're together, you know, their bond that they have for one another is really strong.
It's a coach's show with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, here comes the Kansas City Chiefs, a team yep. that got a dramatic win last night. I don't know how much time you spend on watching something like that. I know you're going to watch the All-22 in the tape, and you said you do spend some time watching the game tape. But here's a Kansas City team that is right in the middle of their division chase. There's just a game behind the Raiders right now, so they're fighting for their lives. Not that it means any more, but it does put a little bit more on the table, doesn't it, when you got two teams that are fighting for their
it's
playoff
gonna
lives.
It's going to be a great game, and you just know it. They've got a very good team, all three phases, mm-hmm. and so do we. And that part is totally going to come to life. We knew this a good matchup heading into this thing. We're glad, you know, we get a chance to play it here at home in front of our fans, and we want to make sure that works to our advantage in terms of the crowd noise and, you know, how much energy we bring. But they've got a lot of speed, both offensively and defensively. Defensively, they've got some real ball hawks. They've got good pass rushers. Usually those goes hand in hand. and then offensively, the ability to use that speed, they've got a good run game. The screen package they've had, you know, with Coach Reed has been terrific. So we're pumped for the matchup. It's a terrific game. And, you know, the fact that we get to do it here, that means a lot.
They have been in this 3-4 seemingly for years.
It does.
Justin Houston's a playmaker. Eric Berry, Marcus Peters basically stole the Carolina game a couple
exactly.
of weeks ago. When you see an aggressive group like that that's got some experience behind them, are they kind of next level in your mind when you line up against them?
I don't know if we'd say next level, but we give them their respect, and they're very multiple. You know, they can go from within a 3-4 scheme to, you know, a nickel scheme like that.
Okay.
They know how to feature the edge rushers. They've got good cover guys and a good mix of cover guys, safeties and corners, and how to use the different guys. They've got safeties that can match up on receivers. That's not normal, where a safety has the speed to go out and play on a slot receiver all the time. So that's what makes them unique that way. Offensively, the tight ends, the running backs, you know, the quarterbacks, very accurate, knows exactly where to go against the coverages. They've got elements of shotgun runs. It's a good package that they have.
The quarterback in Smith, a guy that kind of was forgotten man in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Really did a nice job in San Francisco. Number one overall, first round pick. Has really found a home under Andy Reid. But another veteran, you had a rookie quarterback a couple weeks ago. Now back-to-back guys that have been in the league a long time. When you get a guy like a veteran quarterback like this guy and the guy you had last week, anything different that you necessarily have to do from a game plan standpoint that you might maybe you heat a rookie up a little bit because he hadn't seen very much? Here comes a guy that's probably seen everything you can see at this level.
And we've seen some really good quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
We really have, you know, from Green Bay and San Diego, and then not even counting our own division who's got, you know, including Matt. The NFC South has some really good quarterbacks, so we get to go against one who's pretty good every day. And
not bad.
So, you know, we like those competitions that we go our offense against the defense, where we get to play. You know, like guarding Julio is not an easy task. So, having the ability to go up and challenge and play, those are good things that we like to do. But young guy versus old guy at quarterback, yeah, there's different wrinkles that a guy who hasn't seen that you would do. Mm-hmm. Then when you play somebody who has seen a lot of them, it's better be about your execution because he's going to be, you know, he's seen a lot.
Dan, one of the forgotten stories maybe that's not yet talked about enough is you talked about the physical nature of the Philadelphia game. You didn't like the way it went down. They ran the ball for over 200 yards. That's not who you guys are. That's not who you are. That's not what you want your defense. You limited a team with arguably the best all-around back in the league. I think some people would say David Johnson is right there. 58 yards rushing?
58, that's right.
And it was even less than that in the second half. I think he had 48 yards rushing at the end of the first quarter and had 11 yards in the final three quarters of the game. How proud of you, your team answered that. That was one of the things you wanted
no
to get
doubt.
Done was to win the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. Did that on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it definitely bothered us in a very big way to go have a performance like we did in the run game and then have the bye, thinking about it each day. That definitely gnaws at you. We knew we were a better run defense than that. You're right about David Johnson. He is a receiver when he lines up out, you know, in the slot or empty and runs all the routes. So it's sluggos and underneath routes, deep routes. So then when he gets back in the backfield, the size and the ability to jump cut, I came away very impressed by him. I'd scouted him, obviously, at NAU and coming out into it. But he really is a complete back, catch, block, run. He certainly earned our respect.
Yeah, a lot of patience, it seems like, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he did not seem like a guy that gets worn down easily, you know, where he has stamina
right.
to keep playing. Sometimes, you know, that's not always the case. And in his case, it was.
I thought your guy's tattoo knew a couple of times. He had to go over and catch his breath a couple of times on the side.
Hopefully we'll see some more of that. But there were some times he made us miss, too. We had 8 or 9 tackles that were not up to the standard. So that gives us plenty of stuff for us to work on this week.
Coach, thanks as always for the visit.
All right, thanks, guys.